Welcome to the Bureau Briefing, a podcast by the Bureau of Digital, an organization devoted to giving digital professionals the support system they never had. Each episode, we're going to talk to a member of our community doing awesome, inspiring things. Now for your host, Carl Smith.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Bureau Briefing, the official podcast of the Bureau of Digital. And today, we have got an interesting topic to discuss, something that flared up in the community recently. The concept of creative development on distributed teams. Now, with me today, I have got Jared Ponchot of Lullabot, a 60-person distributed team. And Jared is the creative director and also manages the UX there. Jared, how is it going?
It's going great. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm glad to hear it's going great because I would think it is crazy. How in the world do you manage the creative process?
Well, honestly, a lot of what we do is not that different from co-located teams in terms of, I think it's interesting. When I started doing what I'm doing at Lullabot, I had already been doing this kind of work, you know, design and web and in the web, working in digital for a number of years. But I had been with co-located teams, and my first year or so, I remember feeling like it was sort of like I was starting to uncover what's really essential. It's like, you know, sort of when you go on a road trip and you don't have enough space for everything, and you're like, what do I have to have with me? And I was, you know, the Lullabot had been doing this at that point for, oh, I don't know, probably 4 or 5 years already as a company, but focused mostly on development, and they hadn't been doing any design work up until that point. And so they sort of had figured out a lot of things about being a distributed team and functioning as a distributed company, working with clients and all of that. But I feel like I started to really kind of hone in on three things to me that have kind of become the things that I talk about all the time, which is like insight, energy, and focus. It's like, to me, those are the kind of the building blocks for doing creative work. And there's a number of things that sort of are the ways that we get insights in our work, or the ways that you kind of keep people energized, or the ways that you maintain focus that maybe don't change with distributed teams. But I feel like the things that do change, you start getting crazy intentional about. A lot of that's around communication, the ways that you communicate. I think the hardest thing for me, and this is to anyone out there who's right now either starting out or thinking about going to a distributed team and you're doing creative work, the biggest temptation that you should resist is to try to replace all of your physical tools with digital ones. It's just so important to find ways to still work the same way that you did, still have people sketching on paper and talking it through together live. Things like that were the big mistakes that I think I made initially, where you start to lean into some of the advantages of distributed teams, one of which is just when you start getting really intentional about distributed communication, you start to really leverage like this idea of asynchronous communication. It's like, hey, we don't have to do everything live together. And, you know, that opens up opportunities for focus, because it's like, wow, I can have a big space and kind of manage my own schedule and then keep up with things by reading the posts that they made or reading their notes on this or those kinds of things. But the cognitive load of all that can wear people out over time. And so finding ways to be really intentional about creating space where you are together synchronously for your creative teams, finding tools like a big one that we use is it's a little thing called the IPEVO cam. If you Google it, it's like IPEVO. Pretty inexpensive. It's like maybe $60-$70 to get one on Amazon. But tools like that can let you literally like have your whole creative team live sketching together and just be talking and being like, wait a minute, like, oh, what if we did something more like this? And you can kind of see what they're doing, and people can work with physical tools like pencil and paper. Those kinds of things become invaluable. Otherwise, I think most of what makes work crazy for me is just the nature of doing this kind of work in client services and always figuring out new problems and trying to solve problems that you're ramping up on and those kinds of things.
Absolutely. And so I ran a distributed company for quite a while. And, you know, we were a little more, I don't want to say unprofessional, I won't say relaxed. Mm-hmm. You know, we were more in the, you know, just, hey, share it when you have it and that sort of stuff. And I think the mistake that we made was what you said. And I think this is what I hear. I know this is what I hear from a lot of shops that I talk to. They're going from a located or a co-located experience and transitioning to a distributed experience. And so they do try to replace the things that they're familiar with, the things mm-hmm. that have worked in the past with something new, which has got to be some form of digital experience versus a shop that started off distributed from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And so you came in from the outside to a shop that was already distributed and was already accepting of that culture.
Yeah, from day one they were.
Yeah, that's a huge difference. So mm-hmm. I think that's one of the things that's impressive to me about Lullabot, especially realizing a lot of people don't feel like you can get to 60 people in mm-hmm. and be distributed, but Lullabot's done it. So when you're there – And I love this idea of the IPO cam, and I'll share that in the show notes so that everybody has that link.
Mm-hmm.
How often do you do the synchronous versus the asynchronous? Like, how does that plan? Do you actually schedule that, or is it just something that is natural in your flow?
Yeah. So I actually do think one of the things that I've found is it's a bit different for design and especially certain parts of the design process than it is for a lot of the development process. And over time, the thing that's been really cool is like those things are becoming much more tightly coupled. And so it's like what's being true for the design team is ending up being true for our developers because we're working like live together from day one more now. I think historically when it was just development, that kind of like, you know, scheduled, like lots of synchronous communication wasn't happening as much because it wasn't as necessary, you know, like a lot of development work is sort of, you know, working off of requirements, you know, or a spec or like an existing design or those kinds of things. Like classically, you know, that's how development was done. And development wasn't so, you know, sort of tightly integrated within the design process like it is now, at least at companies like ours. So for my team, one of the things that that I started doing, like I've continued to have these realizations where it's like, wow, this thing that's just kind of wearing me out, like managing all of these, you know, comment threads that are popping up in email notifications and stuff from Envision app. So we use Envision app as a tool. And even if we were a co-located company, I would be using Envision app as a tool. And our clients end up using it as a tool and they're co-located for the most part usually. So, it occurred to me after, you know, the greater the scale got, the more I started to realize, wow, I can accomplish a lot more in a 15-minute live share with this designer talking it through and actually like doodling on it together than I can spending an hour reading carefully through their comments and trying to respond with the right words. And, you know, that was a big realization for me. And so I started, you know, getting back to answering your question, sorry, I started like, well, what if I just have an open slot in my day and I'll set it for every morning. And every designer knows that like anything that they've got that's new that they want to go over, like that's a space where they can just ping me and we're going to hop on. And it saves them from having to try to go through and comment, ask for feedback directly through more asynchronous tools. That's been a big win. Another thing that I know that like, so when you work in a co-located shop, and I did this for years, like a lot of times it depends, like maybe as a company gets bigger, and I was always at pretty small agencies, but as they get bigger, you might find that, even in a co-located place, you start to have to be more intentional with things like, you know what, we better actually like schedule a critique time because this whole over the shoulder, the person next to you thing is not sustainable. And we're not getting the kind of thing we need out of critique. I think with being a distributed team, you start to like, it becomes glaring the things you don't have if you don't get really intentional about them. And that's one of them as well. So we scheduled, like our team right now, we do a weekly that's a show and tell, where it's sort of like everybody on the team can do a quick update to the entire team to show. When I say the team, I'm speaking particularly of our design team, not the entire company, but like as a design team, we have a weekly that's just so that we're all like, you have the whole design team getting eyes on the kinds of stuff that's going on, even if it's not a project you're working on. And we have kind of a really fixed way that we're like trying to bring focus to that to make it go quickly. But, and then like project teams working on a single project, which might be, you know, a designer and a half, or it might be three or four designers, you know, those often happen, you know, early UX process, as soon as wireframe sketches start happening, you know, that might be daily, twice a day sometimes. And we'll just set like for the next 3 weeks, we're going to set a, you know, this time and this time daily, like a check-in point where we can live review what we're making together. And we'll use things like Google Hangouts and IPvo cams to be able to live sketch, or we'll use Envision app to be able to, you know, pop up the thing that I just made and have everybody be able to look at it and see what we're all pointing at and draw and doodle on it and stuff like that. So, and that's worked pretty well. I think the biggest win for me has been just the, wow, it'd be better to have a daily time that's 30 minutes long than to have to manage all of these things through comment threads,
yeah,
and email. So,
well, and so for me, like just listening to you talk about how you work, I've often felt that distributed teams are much better at communication than located or co-located teams. And it's because we have to be.
Mm-hmm.
We learn what it is to communicate in a way that you can understand without physically being there. Mm-hmm. And it sounds kind of weird. Like people who haven't been through it may not understand what I'm talking about, but you learn quickly the missteps that you can take, and you see the incorrect behaviors because of the way you presented something.
Yeah.
And
it's a little bit like the blind being so much more aware of their surrounding than the sighted, you know.
That's a perfect way to say it. And hopefully that doesn't offend anybody.
No, I
think it's the perfect way to say it. It's you become very much more sensitive,
mm-hmm,
to your surroundings because you're trying to communicate through a computer.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I'll say is, I used to get this all the time. People would say, well, what about with clients? I mean, you still meet with clients in person. We were like, no, we meet with them in a distributed way as well. You know, there may be times where we get together, mm-hmm, because it's important for humans to be together.
Yeah.
But for the most part, our clients are great and they appreciate this. And I think we're just better at communicating in a lot of ways than a located team.
Mm-hmm.
Now, have you experienced that going from being co-located to being pure distributed?
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, about 4 year span before joining Lullabot, I was actually running my own small shop, and it was a small shop. So you're talking, you know, anywhere from 3 to 5 people at a time were working there. So not a big agency, but at the same time, it was my company. And like, but I feel like within a few weeks at Lullabot, I was kind of blown away by, wow, I feel like I have a better feel for what's really going on in the company than I ever had at my own company.
Right.
And it was largely a result of how intentional Lullabot's been with the way we communicate and sort of expectations around it and what happens with it. And just the, you know, so because we can't rely on water cooler and, you know, over the shoulder and popping your head into somebody's office in the same ways that co-located teams do, we have like gotten ruthless with, okay, but what kinds of things need to be happening and how could we create places and be intentional about creating the opportunities for those kinds of communication to happen? And like, we kind of create different things, like, you know, even our team call, as we've grown to a 60 person company, we've had to create, Jeff Robbins, one of our co-founders, like created this crazy algorithm that works with Google scripts in it. And it randomly allots who's going to speak week to week so that you're always getting new people are getting turns to talk, but it doesn't make it so that all 60 speak every time because that's just not sustainable.
Right.
As a business, like you take up 3 hours of the entire company's time every week. So yeah, I mean, intentionality, I think, is one of the big things that makes communication happen better in, or can make it happen better in distributed teams. And that same kind of intentionality can be really helpful for co-located teams as well, I think. And we find that with our clients, like you were saying, like that over time, sometimes some of the idiosyncrasies of our intentionality around communication sort of become, you know, that legacy is left with our clients. They start treating their projects that way and doing some of those kinds of things, even as co-located teams, which is rewarding, I think.
Now, this is interesting for me, just because I didn't know your history of having your own shop and having been located and moving to the distributed. But I hear all the time, you know, just being part of the Bureau, you're surrounded by shops all the time. And people are interested in distributed. And there's a lot of confusion around the terminology. And you mentioned Jeff, and Jeff will get really up in arms real quick if you use the word virtual, right?
We're a real company.
We exist. It's not a vapor company. But you do have people who are kind of the concept of remote. They have a remote team, which implies that they're located, and that's got its own struggles. So what I would wonder right now is, for a company who's currently located and they're thinking about making the move to distributed, like, what advice would you have for them as they're taking care of their creative product?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest advice I would have, because I've like been doing this a while, I've been speaking on it even at conferences and stuff, because I get asked to, like, literally have conferences say, could you come speak about that? Because it's fascinating people. I've had tons of people talk to me about what they're trying. And the thing that I constantly hear the most pain around is hybrid scenarios where we're thinking about going remote or becoming distributed or however people want to say it. And so the way that we're doing that is we're beginning to have 3 of our 10 people work, you know, on their own from wherever they want, you know, every third week or whatever. And there is so much, again, sort of back to intentionality. It's sort of like, you know, you've put someone into a situation where it's like, no, you need to figure this out. Like, and this is your situation now. Like, what they do becomes very different. You know, I've been listening to the new season of Serial, and it's like, you know, what this guy did in captivity when, like, knowing I'm not getting out of here, like, is like, you're super intentional. Like, you know, there's just something too. I remember trying to work from home occasionally when I ran my own company before I came to Lullabot, and it was always a little difficult, actually, like, because I hadn't like done all that I would do to make this my ideal workspace, you know, and all that. I mean, that was just a part of it, but I would say, you know, be very intentional with how you make that shift. Try to avoid like putting toes in the water, because you're not going to get a real taste. And then if you're in a situation where you are in a hybrid model where you've got, you know, half the team who's working remotely or whatever, and half that are still together, if you really want to experiment with going fully distributed, start like having your meetings as though you are. In fact, I think I feel like, you know, Aaron or Todd from 4Kitchen was telling me about how, as they were experimenting with this, they actually started having meetings where even everybody who was in the office still had to find their own room, and they would do their meeting via Google Hangout or on the phone or whatever, so that they could start actually realizing what it's like for everybody that's in the meeting and start sort of solving those problems better. And I think that's the thing that maybe gets missed is how difficult it can be when there's sort of not a level playing field.
No, I would totally agree. People think that, well, we'll just try it with a small part of the team, like you said, mm-hmm. and then they go, well, that didn't work. So we're not going to do it. Well, it didn't work because it's not what you were talking about doing.
Right.
And the idea, and I think, I know I've heard Todd say it, and Aaron's probably said it as well, but, you know, they would just start having their meetings where everybody was remote. Even if you were in the same building, you mm-hmm. were trying to get to a different location. That, to me, totally works, because otherwise everybody feels like a bit of a satellite. And as soon as there's a conversation that happens in person and the people who aren't in the office find out about it later, it falls apart. You know, as soon as somebody said, well, when did we talk? Oh, yeah, we talked about in the office. I'm sorry. We should have let you know. And that really worked for us. Even when we had four people in an office and we had close to eight, I think, at the time that we're out, we all made sure we always communicated at the time through HipChat, right? And that just to make sure that everybody knew everything. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I would suggest to any company that's thinking about making this shift is the leadership team needs to be the group that goes first. If you're not going to pull the plug and have everybody go distributed, make sure that you put leadership out there, because that ensures that these conversations won't happen in the office. And that means that they will understand the struggles first, and they will fix them. They will feel the pain. So for me, that's always one of those things. When I left the office, that was when distributed worked for us. When I was in the office, that was when everybody kept asking so many questions because they felt like they missed something.
Yeah. Yeah. I would also just say, like, as a maybe parting piece of advice, don't ever do it to try to save money as a business.
Oh, no.
Like, if that's your goal, look for other ways, you know, because honestly, you're getting intentional about what kind of communication needs to happen in the right ways and stuff is going to end up leading you to saying, well, like at least once or twice a year, these people ought to get together in person to hash out these kinds of things. And, you know, you end up investing your money in other things rather than offices. And sometimes you actually still invest in offices. I know, you know, a lot of distributed companies, you know, give some kind of money, including Lullabot does,
right,
you know, to help you maintain and make sure that the workspace that you have is what you need. So,
yeah. And I would agree with that. Actually, good friends of the Bureau, good friends of mine over at CPA Summit, you know, they distributed CFOs. They work almost exclusively. And when I met them through Lullabot at Yonder, right? Jody came and Adam came. And, you know, they're a big part of what we do in the Bureau now. And they will tell you that when they look at their located teams versus their distributed teams in terms of their clients, that the distributed are still spending what that rent would have been. It was just on getting everybody together once or twice a year, plus on the things you're talking about, like making sure that the homework environments are good, or if they have a co-working space or whatever. So it's definitely not a cost savings. Mm-hmm. It's definitely a lifestyle change.
Yeah. Yep.
Without a doubt. So, well, Jared, thank you so much for giving us your time today and being here on the Bureau Briefing. I look forward to seeing you soon, man. I know we're going to be in Atlanta for Owner Summit, and you won't be there because you'll be at the Lullabot Retreat. There we go. Yeah. Just like we're talking about.
Yep.
And it's always exciting to see the photos when all of you get together. And I'm just curious, how many people will you meet at the retreat that you haven't met in person before?
Last year, I think there was maybe 10 new people or something like that at the retreat, which that I had never met in person.
It was always one of my favorite things to see people who had only met online meet in person, even though they'd work on stuff together, because suddenly you realize you've got this bond and, oh my good, you're a real person. Well, thanks again. And everybody, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week and we'll talk to you then.